go from there.
Good morning.
We're going to go ahead and get started. We said we were going to do some soft start for worship. And I'm glad you made your way into the sanctuary. It's going to be busy. People are coming in from different places. It's frankly, a lot of folks don't even know we're in here when they arrive. So it's going to be that way. We want to give an atmosphere of worship. If you like me, I'm rushing, running right up to the moment I tip up into the pulpit. A lot of everything but worship has gone on sometimes. So we're just going to take some time. Jason has agreed to kick in the gear for us and get a few songs going. And then we'll go from there. Okay, so let's just enter an atmosphere of worship. If there's anything we can sing to, then we'll stand and sing to it. Okay?
Good morning. I'm going to need all your voices today.
Why would I?
Amen. All right, we'll do Man on the Middle Cross. Hey, Harrison. Your candle's out.
That's on fire.
We're going to light it with the Holy Ghost. How's that? Well, I heard the preacher talking about three wooden crosses. I want to hear for everyone to see. Two sinners on the outside, they couldn't save themselves if they tried. And all I can think is, man, that sounds like me. I've been the one on the left, full of guilt and regret, long gone on the wrong side of living. The one on the right, always looking for a fight, thinking I can never be forgiven. Standing here today, overwhelmed by grace, but know who paid my cost, thank God. Oh, the man on the cross.
I think if we stood during this song and just entered the atmosphere, the personal spirit of worship, I think it would assist us this morning. There's been a lot of opposition today. A lot of opposition.
You know it's a good service when Satan shows up first. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's remain standing. The call to worship. Come on, you can do it. That wasn't even as long as some of you shower. Praise the Lord this morning. Verse 1, O come all you faithful. Let's sing together. Go tell it on the mountain, 251. This morning, God has prepared blessings for us as we enter together into His presence, and we're excited to get our arms around those and receive that, but most of all, to encounter the living God, and to know that we can overcome every obstacle. I can't tell you, you know, I wanted to have things just right this morning. Of course, that wasn't going to be the case, and so Jason and Jim and Michael made it better. But we want to take some time now just to celebrate the ways God does do what He does in our lives each and every day. So if you have a word of testimony, now's the time to share it. Ann?
We had a man in the community named Tracy Lawson who had a really bad stroke the first of the week. He's only 54 years old.
Oh.
He was in intensive care, and they were talking about brain bleeds and surgery and all kind of stuff. Well, I don't know what happened, but he came home. And he called me as I was pulling up in the churchyard one morning, And he said, I understand that you called my sister and asked about me. And I want you to know, I want everybody to know that I appreciate the prayers and what the community has done for me. And he said, it was a lightning bolt when it happened. He said, when I was laying there and I looked at my wife and my child and they were standing there looking at me and I was thinking, what's happening to me? He said, but I don't know how it happened, but I'm home and I'm 90% there. And he said, I sure do thank God for it.
Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm very grateful for that. Indeed. Other praises this morning. Arlene?
I want to praise God for being with me during my procedure Tuesday. Everything was okay. But I especially, too, want to praise the nurses and the doctors and technicians out there. They were fantastic.
Amen.
And we don't praise them enough.
No, the advances God has given us in medical science and you know what our struggles, what gives us trouble today, is just going to be a memory to some in the future because God continually unfolds the mysteries of medical science. Well, listen to me just talking, putting words together. Go ahead.
I saw Linda this morning, and she said we should report that she is doing better all the time. She's being careful about doing her exercises and getting stronger. And Trish was like, yeah, she is doing better all the time. And so thank you for your continued prayers.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. That is one tough lady. Other praise this morning. All right. Well, our prayer concerns. We have a number of those. Terry Belcher had texted me last night to say that Charmaine's mother had fallen and had a number of injuries she sustained, and they're seeking prayer for them, and they're not here this morning, so they can be, I believe she's been admitted to the hospital, but I don't know anything else about that, so let's remember them in our prayers. We continue to remember Butch Lancaster, and of course, Linda. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am, Brenda.
Julie.
Our Julie Moon. She's here. Let's don't talk about her as if she's not. We'll continue to remember Julie in our prayers. Are there others? Okay.
A young man, Jason Hilton, in the community. Julia informed me this morning he had a terrible diagnosis this week. And okay. He was our local police officer, as well as a neighbor that many people know.
Say his name again.
Jason Hilton.
Jason Hilton. Well, I'm sure we've all had encounters with him if he's one of the few we have in our community. So I lift him up in prayer. Are there others this morning? Joy?
Our little Shelby.
Our granddaughter Shelby has had one thing after another for weeks, and we just pray that she will keep her strength and keep on the road to recovery.
And pray for Mitchell and Andrea.
Joy's worried they'll decide not to have another one. Well, that's so you'll know how to pray into it. Because we are. I can't see it. Jason?
My friend Jay Russo, he's struggling with blood clots in his legs and lack of insurance. Really just overcame addiction, and he's really fighting hard to stay, to stay in that. You can only imagine how hard that would be if he had debilitating blood clots. How easy would be to fall back in, right?
Amen.
Pray for strength and for miraculous healing.
All right. Others?
Please put Tracy Lawson on our prayer.
Tracy Lawson. Others? Okay, well, we are coming to the altar this morning for the Lord's Supper, and because of that, we want to make time for individual and for corporate congregational confessions. So please join me for that. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ, but sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. Let us pray. Father, please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief, for the ways we have deceived others, for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ. Forgive us for the sins that we silently confess to you now. God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from our sin and restore us to Christ's image. Praise and glory be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Our God, as we awaken to a new day, our lives are filled to the brim with possibility. And yet the concerns and cares of our lives can often blind us to those possibilities, the newness of things. And so, God, we ask you today, as we come to you, lifting our voices in praise, that you will open us to the world of possibility when we surrender, when we have opportunities to yield, when we learn of the course of discipleship, that it's a life of submitting, a life of surrendering, even repenting. And God, that rich blessings that fill our lives through obedience can become a life of service and a life of beauty. So anoint this time. Fall in this service, Lord, with your presence. Lift up the name of Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. We want to take some time now to go through some announcements. Of course, we're heading back into our kind of routine schedule, and so we'll be starting back up with Bible study. We're just starting the Wesleyan distinctives of our faith in the catechism, and we'd love to see some folks join us. We have little books for you that you have to really squint hard to read, but I'll read it to you if you'd like. And we'd love to see you on Tuesdays. We sit down at 12 and eat any meal that we've brought and prepared with us. And others show up around 12:30, and that's when we begin. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. We're having some wonderful discoveries through Scripture. The women are meeting Tuesday night, I believe, right?
Next week.
I read too far ahead. All right. So then the next thing on our agenda would be Thursday evening prayer here in the sanctuary. And I just can't say to you enough that I think that is one of the single most important things we do. And when I came here, there were a lot of different things, challenges we were going to try to solve. And when people rightly wanted to know what I thought we should do, we're just going to do the basic things. We're going to study God's Word, and we're going to learn how to pray. And then, of course, we got busy with missions, and the Lord took it from there. So we'll continue to follow in that path and seek out the true ways, the tried ways that lead us in discipleship. So join us in prayer sometime. We'd love to have you. It's Friday morning, I believe, 6 o'clock. The Dorman basketball breakfast starts in the Life Center. And Terry always needs a few people on hand, actually more than a few, to pull that off. It's a great ministry to the basketball teams, men's and women's. And so if you're able to be here, that'll be a great time. A time you can see the kids and get to share with them and serve them as well. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Okay.
We're going to be in BBS this summer. Real BBS. Monday through Friday. During the day, and so please be prayer about that for the community. We're pretty excited about it, and so part of our mission for the community, we want to offer that and involve the daycare, and so there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Pray, and be ready to hear more about that, how you can be involved.
And show up.
And show up and show out.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad for that.
May I say this?
Yes, ma'am.
In the newsletter, it was saying that today was collection day for Woodruff Soup Kitchen, and it, of course, is not. Somehow that guy kind of got off schedule about 2 months ago. The third Sunday is when I take up
always
to go to the Woodruff Soup Kitchen.
We're always headed toward third Sunday for the Woodruff Soup Kitchen's pickup, so be aware of that. This would be the first Sunday today?
Yeah.
Okay. Any others?
We always need things for the blessing box, but we don't need frozen things.
Well, are you sure that it didn't just freeze overnight?
When it thaws, what a mess. Perhaps I'd clean it up.
We do have people who serve the blessing box through from our community. We see unknown folks unknown to us stop and put things in it, and it's been a real blessing to see that. You know, those things always bring a mixed bag, and sometimes we can feel pretty sour about it, but people being people, that's not our decision. You know, we have to do what Jesus said to do in Matthew 5 and 6, and we do that, everything's going to be all right. Okay. Well, that's announcements. I guess it's time for the offering. Kevin? Oh, I thought you were chasing me.
I will. Lord, we give thanks to you today, mainly because of who you are. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you have promised. As you require and as you ask, with giving heart, we bring you our tithe today. We set it upon your altar and we give you glory. That you may be praised through every act that we do in this body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Let us stand for the reading of the gospel. Glad he was here.
I couldn't do her when she's not quiet. Our gospel reading today is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is what we believe. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you. Let us present our offering. Children go out at this time. I missed it. At all times in the church, the way it should be, and I think for us currently probably is, there are people who are quite old in their faith. I remember a time when I insulted my daddy because I apparently said enough to make him think that I thought only the young men in our church knew Jesus. We were on fire for the Lord, and it was kind of a revival stirring in our congregation, and it just felt good every Sunday, and we were kind of loud about it. My daddy said, "You think you're the first people in this church to have faith in Jesus Christ?" He said, "Boy, I was trusting Jesus before you were born." And I never have forgotten that, you know. At the same time, when we speak to the church, we speak to people who are brand new in their faith as well. We have people who just said, "Yes, Jesus, I don't know how this works, but I trust you to save me from my sins. I trust you to forgive me. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. And we'll figure the rest out as we go." And those folks are going along with us too. At all times, we have folks who are long in the tooth in the faith and people who are fresh and brand new in it. It's hard to keep the teaching message of the church balanced in a way that will honor both of those directions. But today, we are installing our slate of leaders for the new year. Back in June, when our council voted for the last time as a United Methodist Church, it voted to go forward with the slate of officers it had, that we had been through a lot together, and that they'd worked very hard, and we were going to inaugurate a new year a new beginning with them. And so this slate, with a few changes, just as necessary changes, those folks are coming along and being put forth as your leaders today. And so we take a time in our service to consecrate ourselves to that task. The difference is, in this new expression of our faith, you're going to be held accountable if you're a leader in this church. And so I want to address that briefly in a short message, and then we will do that. So our text today, the message is entitled, A Serious Relationship. And this is going to help segue into the rest of the month. I told you I wanted to talk about relationships. And the very first relationship, of course, is that of God. And so, in a way, we'll link that together with today's message, a serious relationship. The text here is Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I'll say that again, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, take this time that you've so carefully defended and curated today, and make it be yours. Do the things you need to do in order that Jesus will be glorified and praised in our midst. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is about a serious relationship. Every Sunday in every pulpit, a Bible-believing church, it's going to be about a serious relationship. Last week I talked to you about that great offense to God, the thing that just that God cannot deal with any other way than with Jesus, is that sin that came between us in our relationship. We reiterated last week how much God hates sin, that we can't even imagine it. Matter of fact, we tend to push it back and don't want to think about it. But God despises sin. It can't be said enough. And a lot of fire and brimstone preachers will take that very moment to then go into a harangue about how awful people are and how good it is that God gave grace to save, which is all true. But that's not Jesus' way with us this morning, as God is continuing to woo us into the way he sees the relationship. God's done a lot. God did everything, as we said last week, to come to us, to come as far as we needed him to come. God provided everything to redeem us from sin. And then we sort of have our expression on our side of, well, that's really great, you know. The good man upstairs. You know, Jesus is a good old buddy. And we're really glad we're friends with him. But you must take this relationship seriously. And we see all the time the kinds of things that happens when the church neglects its end. Now, I never was in the military. I've always honored and been envious of the service of those who were. But any former military person will tell you that a buck private in basic training of any of our military arms or branches doesn't have to know how to wage war from a general's perspective. There are people who are just the grunts. They go and they do the hard work of winning our wars. And then as they excel in that and as they excel and move through the ranks and promoted, they receive training that enables them to conduct warfare and to plan and to deploy and use troops. In the church, it's not necessary for every new believer to understand everything. Sometimes it gets a little old, though. I got to say, because of Facebook and other things, we have this constant stream of scripture stretched all over like a drumhead. You know, with, you know, how in the world? What did they think that meant? We see some really creative uses of scripture and some interpretations. Just clear that a person has never once read his or her Bible. Period. In the church, we deal with it all the time, except I tend to be less and less tolerant of it. People who never give a dime to the church get to vote on how we spend money. It's the most ridiculous situation that could ever happen in an organization, and it happens in the church all the time. There are people who never went to a day of Sunday school. Telling people how they ought to do the Sunday school, how it ought to be run, and how long it ought to take. And they don't know anything about Sunday school. They know nothing about the fellowship or the way the small group functions in a Sunday school class. They have no business administering or telling Sunday school people what they should or shouldn't do. And then there are people who think the church is a business. The church on earth has business, but it is not a business. There are very few ways that you can take the leadership of the church and lay it out and diagram it in the business school. No way. Those who take leadership in the church need to understand that when we take a moment like we took last year and issue a corrective and we say, full stop, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to make some corrections. We're going to see, we think we know where the troubles have been. It wasn't with the people in the pew. Rather, it was the treatment of a relationship with a holy God and the communicating of that to the people as if it were a casual thing. And just any old belief works. And any old thing will do. If we have enough, and I tried for 24 hours to find decent music for us to sing this morning on the screen. It's just one failure after another, but I was amazed. You know what I really noticed? How dark they worship in those places. They turn off all the lights, and then they have these few little light bulbs, and then they have a guy, you know, with his hair. Never mind. Packaging. We need to sing more, not sit and listen more. We don't just put performers on stage. We put people in praise. And we try to lead one another in that activity. But by and large, we make few demands on people in the pew for the very reason that you've got your old fogey like my dad, and you've got the new in Christ babe all in the same pew. But when you offer yourself or when you've been recruited for or pinned into a position in church that requires your leadership, you've got to know. You've got to take the relationship serious. The way we will turn this around is by maintaining doctrine, by maintaining orthodoxy in the leadership of the church. And we must be ever vigilant, and we must say hard things. And yes, the Scripture does allow us to judge. It says simply to be prepared to be judged in the way you judge. And so if you're a leader in this church, we're now going to have to enter into a time of deep consecration and understanding that we have to hold one another accountable. And when sin comes into our lives, and I didn't say if, but when sin enters our life as leaders, we have to be into a vulnerable position to where we can relate to one another in a way that allows that not to take root in our soul or to hamper the work of Christ in the church because of our woundedness. We need to know that the people deserve to have leadership that takes this relationship very seriously. I had an amazing week this week. I worked out of town. I'm a chairperson of a committee, and we had our very first actual meeting together. We've been working very hard since July. We didn't even know what we were doing. This past week, we had our very first meeting to say, here's how you do it. God really showed up and blessed us. But what I heard over and over again from the committee members was, I don't know how I got into this position. I'm not worthy. Do you know my educational background? Do you expect me to tell people who have been educated far more than me and served far longer than me that they can or cannot enter the ministry? I feel so unworthy for this. And my stock answer has to be, yes, I expect you to do it. It's just like when we first trust Jesus, folks. We don't know what we don't know when we trust Jesus for the first time. You don't know how unworthy you are until you actually trust Him. And then you begin to grow in a little bit and you realize, wow, I'm surprised the water didn't turn black when they baptized me. Now see, for Methodists, that's about sanctification. We understand that once we are saved, we are then continually being saved. And that's being sanctified, being made holy. These citizens. And so, the guy, you know, on the tractor, and the woman in the cash register, and the teacher in the school, and the administrator of a big business, we all have that in common, is we're in constant need of God's sanctifying presence in our lives. I expect to be saved of so much more than I've been saved of to this day. See, I can only be yielded to God for the things that I know about. I can't repent of or talk to God about things I've yet to reveal about myself. But as God purifies and as God cleanses my heart, I begin to see more and more of the things that have to be done. The renovation. Some of you ever renovated your house? And the guy came and started tearing into it and found out there was a whole lot more than you knew you needed. That's the way it is. And so life of service to the church, for lay people and for clergy, has to be based in, I understand I don't know what I don't know. But I'm going to be completely as submitted as I can be today. And so I invite you today, take this relationship seriously. Now, under my leadership, if I could, Margo and Noel would be the leaders. Tag, you're it. I want you to feel free to quit. Here's the thing. If I have a grace, if I have a gift that I've been identified, that I've identified in myself, I know this about me. I don't quit. I don't quit. But at the same time, I've been quit on hundreds and hundreds of times. And I want you to know that I'm okay with that. People get wrangled into things. They get talked into things. They get pressured into things. Their name gets printed and they say, "How did it get printed on the paper?" And the preacher goes, "Ta-da!" You need to be able to step back and say, "I've had that long enough," or "It's just not working out," or "I just can't do that. It's not in my skill set. I need to quit." You will find that you'll have a gracious acceptance of your resignation when you need to step aside. But as some can tell you, you may also need to have the same grace when I come to you and say, "Because of this, something, something, I think you need to take a break. You need to step aside till we get things worked out." That's the grace of a relationship with God. You see, while we're constantly failing Him, He's constantly issuing grace to us. And so in your service to the church, feel free. Feel the grace to step aside when needed. And be willing to exercise the grace to step aside for a moment at least when asked. So, we're going to do this seated because if everybody stood up, the three people left wouldn't be able to see anything. Okay, but right now, and I did this in the music thing wouldn't work for me, so I didn't take time to do this like I should. Okay, but I tried to get the names: Mike Hooker, Connie Warren, Eric Finch, Marlene Moore, Jessica Evans, Kevin Bishop, Rebecca Gray, Charles Harrison, Mac Rutland, Julia Lancaster, Alan Gray, Judy Bain, Alice Blankenship, Emily Cox, Ashley Evans, Inel de Montmorency, Boyce Nodine, Brenda Hooker, Karen Moore, Joy Snellgrove, Ann Duncan, Jenny Layton, Diane Biggs, Flo Nodine, Bailey Finch, Kathy Hale, Butch Lancaster, Marsha Hatchett, Becky Hoover, Charmaine Belcher, Ralph Johnson, Annie Hames, Mac Rutland, Justin Hornby, Jamie Hatchett, Ralph Johnson, Baby Finch, I think I'm reading some over again. Sarah Hornby, Monty Layton. Did I say Jenny? Jenny. You in particular, but we all have an opportunity now to take this path of consecration this morning in Wesley's covenant renewal service. Okay? And so we'll have that on the screen. I invite you to follow for your responses where necessary. First, the invitation. Let us gather here before the Lord now in covenant, commit ourselves to Christ as His servants. Let us give ourselves to Him so that we may fully belong to Him. Jesus Christ has left us with many services to be done. Some of these services are easy and honorable, but some are difficult and disgraceful. Some line up with our desires and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we please both Christ and ourselves, but then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. Jesus Christ, we offer you this prayer. Let me be your servant. Let me follow your commands. I will no longer follow my own desires. I give myself completely to your will. Thy power, the power and strength to live as true servants, is given to us in Christ. We accept this place and work that He gives us, acknowledging that He alone will be our reward. I am not my own. I am yours alone. Make me into what you will. Rank me with those you will. Put me to use for you. Put me to suffering for you. Let me be employed for you. Let me be laid aside for you. Let me be lifted high for you. Let me be brought low for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things or let me have nothing. With a willing heart, I freely give everything to your pleasure and disposal. Christ is Savior to those who are His true servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. To be His servant is to consent fully to His will. Christ accepts nothing less. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Now, confirm this truth in Holy Covenant. Make it a reality in your life in these ways. First, set apart time in your day more than once to be spent alone with the Lord. Seek to perceive God's special care for you and gracious acceptance of you. Carefully think through the words of this covenant and its conditions. Examine your heart, even if you have freely given your life to Christ. Name the sins in your life. Reflect on whether you are willing to choose Christ's holy laws and strict commands. Be sure you are clear in all of these so that you do not lie to God. Second, uphold a serious spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Do not trust in your own strength and power, but rely upon God's promise of giving grace and strength. In this way, he will empower you to keep your promise. Fourth, be determined to be faithful. You have given your heart and life to God. You have opened your mouth to dedicate yourself to the Lord. With God's power, never go back to your former way of living. And last, be prepared to renew your covenant with God. Fall on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your hearts. And now for the covenant prayer. Let us pray together. My righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me now as I come before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness when I have not done your will. You promise mercy if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you rid yourself of every idol in your life. From the bottom of my heart, I here and now renounce every idol in my life, covenanting with you that I will not commit any known sin. By turning against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch for any temptation that will lead me away from you. Through Jesus Christ, God offers to be your God again if you allow him to be. Before all heaven and earth, I here and now acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I vow to give all of myself, body and soul, to be your servant and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Jesus Christ is the only way and means to God. God has given us Jesus as the way and means to salvation. Jesus, I have accepted you as the only new and living way. I join myself in covenant with you. I come to you hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. With all my power, I accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own unworthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. Jesus, I here and now make this covenant with you and accept whatever comes in life. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death will separate me from you. God has given holy laws as the rule of your life. I here and now willingly take on your yoke and burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I accept them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising I will strive to order my whole life around your direction. I will not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows you, even the thoughts of your heart. O God, you know that we have made this covenant today in sincerity, without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in us, guide us and help us to set it right. And now, glory be to you, God the Father. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my God and Father. Glory be to you, God the Son. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit. By your almighty power, you have turned my heart from sin to God. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my comforter and guide. O mighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. You are mine, and I am yours, so be it. May this covenant that I have made here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. May our God, who establishes covenant relationship with those who seek to enter the kingdom, be with you always. May Jesus Christ, who seals the new covenant with his blood on the cross, bring you peace. May the Holy Spirit guide your life both now and forever. We go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen. Now I invite you to turn your attention to this time of communion with the Lord. We've been studying this in Bible study through our catechism and talking about the bread and the wine, the juice, and the symbolic nature of what they represent, but also how they can become real presence. They can become really the body and the blood of Jesus within us simply by our believing that it becomes so. And so by that attitude of heart, let's approach the table now.
Assist when the time comes. Please join me for the great thanksgiving. We bless and praise you, Father Almighty. We join the company of heaven and praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be your Son, Jesus Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you. He blessed it. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall upon us, Holy Spirit. Bless these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Oh, these are wild times in which to be in the church and to serve communion and ask the church to be together in faith over this meal. We're going to have two folks here who've been examined by me. They're healthy. And we're going to share the Lord's table by the bread and through individual serving cups. So if you'll come, try not to crowd the altar, but come and receive today. And you may make use of the altar rail afterwards. And just take your time. Don't line up. And we'll get through this together, I promise. Okay? And the Lord will bless if you expect the blessing. So. Kevin, you can do the bread.
Just get the trash can for the car. Oh.
Do some more?
Yeah.
Extra measures of that. John Wesley teaches us that this meal is a means of grace. In other words, we can approach it in a certain way and actually receive the active grace of God into our life. It can literally become the body and blood of Christ. In receiving that, we receive special grace. I invite you to come in that spirit. And we'll start over here with the musicians.
My soul that I obey.
Is the family prayer song. I invite you to stand as we sing together and close our service.
Go with peace.